Welcome to ESL Podcast's English Cafe, number 12. You're listening to episode 12 of ESL Podcast's The English Cafe. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about stealing art in the United States. We are going to talk a little bit about religion in the U.S., and we'll answer some of your questions. Now let's get started. Before we get started, a quick announcement. One of the listeners of our podcast has his own podcast, and this is someone who listens to us from South Africa, and his name is Jan, J-A-N, and he has started his own podcast called Just Vocabulary. And this is a daily podcast. It's a short 2 or 3 minutes, and he picks 2 words each day that he gives examples of how you use them, gives the definition. And it's very short, but if you like that approach in terms of vocabulary, you might want to listen to his podcast. The web address is just, J-U-S-T, vocabulary, V-O-C-A-B-U-L-A-R-Y, dot L-I-B-S-Y-N dot com. That's just vocabulary dot L-I-B-S-Y-N dot com. I'm going to talk a little bit today about a story that has been in the newspaper, the newspapers here in the United States the last week or two, and it has to do with stealing art. The most important museums in the United States, the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, and here in Los Angeles, we have the Getty Museum, G-E-T-T-Y, the Getty Museum, actually a couple of museums called the Getty. And there's been a lot of controversy because some of these museums have received art that was stolen from, usually from archaeological digs, we would say. Archaeology has to do with studying usually older, ancient civilizations, and where you dig up in the ground and you find what we would call artifacts. An artifact, A-R-T-I-F-A-C-T, is something from usually another culture that you find, usually, again, in the ground. Sometimes this is very beautiful art, but unfortunately, there are many people who dig up these artifacts and they sell them illegally to other countries, to other museums. And there's been a considerable controversy about this in museums here in the United States. In particular, Italy has a law against people stealing, taking things from that they find in Italy in an archaeological dig. And a dig, D-I-G, is when you go out and dig in the ground, you make a hole and try to find something. Well, apparently some of the famous art that is in American museums and British museums and other museums across the world are stolen from some of these archaeological digs that they did not have permission. In fact, the curator of the Getty Museum, and the curator, C-U-R-A-T-O-R, the curator is the person who is in charge of the art museum, of where things are going to go and what art they're going to buy. The curator of the Getty Museum is actually on trial in Italy. To be on trial, T-R-I-A-L, means that the government is trying to, is accusing her, is saying that she committed a crime against Italian law. One of the problems is that often the documents for these pieces of art are what we would call doctored. To be doctored, just like a doctor that helps you with your body, with your health. But as a verb, to doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, means to change, to falsify, to make usually a document, a piece of paper, say something that it did not originally say. And you do that in order to fool someone, in order to trick someone, in order to make someone believe something that isn't true. But it's a big controversy, especially here in Los Angeles, when they're are opening up again a new or a museum rather that has a lot of Greek and Italian art. Well, we'll see what happens, but it's a very interesting story, I think. I had a question from one of our listeners about religion in the United States, and if I could talk a little bit about the religions in the U.S., which are the most popular, and are Americans religious? Well, most Americans, if you ask them, and you take a survey, will say that they believe in some sort of God. In terms of religions, a very high percentage of Americans identify themselves, say when someone asks them if they believe in God and what religion, will give a specific religion. I think the most current information is about 75% of Americans call themselves Christian, and about maybe 13-14% call themselves that say they're not religious at all. And then the rest of the percentages are very small for different religions. Judaism, those who are Jewish, is about 1.3% is what I read. And other religions are even smaller than that in terms of the percentage of people in the United States who say they are in that religion. Now, the 75% of those who are religious, about 25% of the total population of the United States calls themselves Catholic. And Catholic, C-A-T-H-O-L-I-C, these are Christians who believe in, we would also call the Roman Catholic Church, with the Pope in the Vatican in Italy. That's the single largest Christian church in the United States. Still a minority, however, that is still not the majority of people. but the largest group in terms of Christian groups. The other 50-some percent of the population that is Christian are what we would call Protestants. And the word Protestant comes from the word to protest. P-R-O-T-E-S-T, to protest, is when you don't like something and you want it to be changed. And these are churches that, beginning with Martin Luther in Germany and King Henry VIII in England back in the, I believe, the 16th century, in the 1500s. These were churches that began in protest to problems in the Catholic Church at that time. And so these are called in English Protestant, where we add an A-N-T to protest, and it becomes Protestant. These are Protestant churches, and there are many dozens, maybe hundreds of different churches in this category. In the United States, the largest church is probably, Protestant church is probably the Baptist. The Baptist, B-A-P-T-I-S-T, church, which is particularly popular in the southern part of the U.S. And when we say in the South, when we're talking about the United States, we're talking about Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, probably Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina. Those are the states in that southeastern part of the United States, which also happens to be probably more religious than, say, people who live in Los Angeles or in New York. So overall, the Americans are consider themselves very religious. Now, of course, just because you say you are religious doesn't mean you necessarily are doing the right thing. That's another issue. Now let's answer some questions. Well, as always, lots of good questions. Our first question comes from Carmen in Spain. And Carmen wants to know what the title of the movie that I mentioned a few weeks ago about Johnny Cash, the American singer, what the title of the movie means. Now, the title is Walk the Line. Walk the Line, L-I-N-E. That's also the name of a song by Johnny Cash. Well, I actually went back and looked at the lyrics of the song, and one of the lines in the lyrics, one of the sentences is, "Because you're mine, I'll walk the line. Because you're mine, because I love you, I will do the right thing." So to walk the line means, in some ways, to obey the rules, not to cause problems. Perhaps even to be obedient, to obey some rule or law. So someone who doesn't like to follow the rules, doesn't like to obey the rules, but he loves this girl, this woman so much that he says, "I will walk the line. I will not get into trouble, not cause problems." So thank you, Carmen, for that question. Our second question, a couple of questions, comes from Pavel in Poland, P-A-W-E-L, in Poland. And he wants to know about using got with the verb to know. And he wants to know if it's okay to say, "I got known her," instead of "I have known her." Well, it's true that sometimes got and have mean the same thing, such as I have a pen, I got a pen, I've got a pen, we probably would say. But here you can't use got with known, because the have here is actually part of a past participle construction where that serves as a verb to talk about the past tense. And it doesn't mean the same. It doesn't mean possess. It doesn't mean that you own something. So you can't say I got known her. You must say I have known her. Similarly, he has a question about the difference between I've had or I have had and I had had. Well, that's a good grammar question. When we say I have had, we are talking about something that happened in the past. So I have had many cups of coffee today. When we say I had had, H-A-D, and then H-A-D again, I had had, we use that only when we are talking about something else going on in the past. Let me give you an example. When my wife arrived home last night, I had had 3 cups of coffee. That means that when my wife arrived home at 7 p.m., before that, I had had 3 cups of coffee. So it's sort of like talking about the past in the past. And it's always or almost always used when you are have another part of the sentence that talks about something else that happened in the past. Kai, K-A-I, from Hong Kong, has a question about a couple of expressions. One of them is jump across the pond, P-O-N-D. Well, a pond is a small, we would say a small body of water. A body of water can be small, it can be large like an ocean, or smaller like a lake. A pond is even smaller than a lake. Usually you can see across it and walk around it. Well, a pond, the expression, the jump across the pond, actually refers usually to someone going from the United States to Great Britain. So from London to New York or New York to London. That's sometimes called the jump across the pond. And the pond here is sort of a joke because we're talking about the Atlantic Ocean, which of course is not a small body of water. But that's an expression that people use about going to England or going to other countries in Europe. So the pond refers to the Atlantic Ocean. Finally, Big in Thailand wants to know what the expression "she is a complete knockout" means. What does the expression "she is a complete knockout"? Knockout is K-N-O-C-K-O-U-T. Well, normally, when we use the word knockout, we're talking about the sport of boxing. When one person hits another person and they fall down and don't get up, that's called a knockout. But in this expression, when you talk about a woman being a knockout, we mean that she's very beautiful. She's so beautiful that her beauty almost hits you and knocks you over, knocks you down. So a knockout is a very beautiful, sexually attractive woman. It's not that common anymore, however. Young people wouldn't probably use the word knockout. They'd probably use some other expression like she's hot, H-O-T, meaning that she's very good-looking, very attractive. So thank you for that question, Big. That's all we have time for today. As always, I want to thank you for listening to The Cafe. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. We'll see you next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.